upon a time.
Hi, I'm Eddie Kitsis.
I'm Adam Horowitz.
And we are joined today by none other than Robert Carlyle for the episode Manhattan. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm all right. I mean, I'm feeling a little bit like a little bit under the weather today, but that's all right.
Oh, well.
Because they work me so hard, you see.
Yes.
Try to kill me.
How dare they?
How dare they? Well, we tried to kill you in this episode by making you be 40 different people.
Well, that nearly worked. What's interesting, I guess, about this first little scene here is that this is the first time you see Rumpel without a limp.
Yeah.
And I kind of deliberately tried to play this whole scene very up and very bright and very excited. Excited about going to war and seeing the smile on my face there. And Rachel, similarly, you know, because she's not a lot of light moments for Rachel, and this is one of them.
Yeah, no, I love this scene because the only time we'd ever seen you guys together was pretty bleak, and now we're seeing a side of Rumpel that we've never seen before, an optimist.
I love also the way you played it. You didn't want to be like your father, that you're playing this, I don't want to be a coward.
Yeah. That's the most important thing to him right at this point in his life, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I think this is fantastic.
I feel sorry for Rachel. She gets a lot of abuse.
She does,
through the neck.
She really does.
Because even though Rumpel ripped her heart out, that seems to be not enough punishment for her, really.
No, people, there's definitely, and then here we are with Mr. Gold in a new land. So this moment, you're stepping out and you're seeing New York. What were you thinking?
I was thinking, does Gastown and Vancouver look at all like Manhattan at this point? Well, he's obviously very nervous at this point, you know. Yeah. This is it. This is what he's been waiting, you know, literally hundreds of years for, and it's suddenly in front of him now. And I try to show that there on my face that it's not easy.
No, I thought that was incredible because you really see in that moment you're frightened.
Yeah.
Which is great because we haven't seen that really since last year when before you became the Dark One.
That's right. Yeah. This season's been very like that, up and down for Gold for sure. That he's you've really seen all kind of, you know, corners of his mind, and it's been a real pleasure this season, really has, playing on that.
Did they shoot like a lot of people may not realize we shoot out of order, of course, but were you able to shoot all the fairy tale side together, or did you have to literally go back and forth?
If I remember rightly, we did pretty much shoot it all as one. This episode, interestingly enough, was split between Christmas and New Year.
That's right.
We did, I think, four days or maybe 5 days before Christmas. And then from, I think it was about the 3rd of January when we came back, we did the other 4 or 5 days. So it was kind of, it was good to get rid of all that, you know, what other side of it would have been fine, get rid of one completely before we start the other. And I think that's what we did, fairy tale first, and then we went to Manhattan after that.
Yeah, it would be hard, I would think, to do Mr. Gold in the morning, and then...
was there a particular...
We tried that once.
I mean, was there a particular approach you took to how you took Gold in Manhattan and the real world versus Storybrooke, like the way he interacted with his surroundings? There's a vibe that you get that feels different and right, and I'm just curious like how
absolutely. I think I tried to keep him on edge the whole time. I mean, Storybrooke's, you know, tiny, you know, it's a few streets worth in Maine, and he's pretty much the king of the castle there, and nothing can disturb him. But this is all very disturbing, all of it. You know, I just kind of imagined any person at all, never mind Gold, seeing Manhattan, the streets, the buildings, the cars, the traffic for the first time. And that would be pretty, you know, intimidating. This is it.
Get him to talk. I love this moment where you give her the deal. This is the favor.
This is
like
the favor
you,
right
you knew going into here he wouldn't talk to you.
No, of course. There's Michael running away. Not.
Yeah.
There you go. As I must say, you know, we'll probably talk about Michael later on as well, but I've been so pleased to have the chance to work with him as Bay. I think he's done a terrific job on it. It's fantastic to work with.
Yeah, no, we were fans of Michael's. We were very excited, and when we were trying to find who could play your son and would have the energy that you would believe it, he was like first on the list.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We got on very well. We're very, very similar. Similar, in a sense, in a strange kind of way, similar backgrounds. Michael and I is a working class boy from Detroit. His father was in the car industry his whole life, and I understand that for sure. So we're good buddies.
Yeah, no, it's great. And, you know, we'll get to the scene between the two of you. I also like the way Jennifer and you interact, you know, even starting with the last episode when you were on the plane.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something different there as well, isn't there, between the two of them in this one. The scene that's coming up, I think, you know, when he goes through the apartment and he attacks her. That's, I really enjoyed that moment. I mean, enjoyed watching it, enjoyed doing it, but enjoyed seeing it back.
Yeah. No, this is, you know, for us, you know, we this is like the moment we've all been waiting for, which was, you know, the collision of both worlds, you know, Emma's world and your world.
And it's funny, we've been building to this moment since pretty much the start of season one, and and very much from when we did your first episode, Bobby, where we first saw how you became the Dark One, and we knew from the get-go that we had wanted to make your son the father of Henry and find the collision of these worlds and build to this happening this season. And it was, you know, and it was one of those things that, you know, quite honestly, as we built it up over time, you know, it just was, you know, became more and more, you know, exciting to actually get to the moment.
I like, I love the scenes with you and Henry in this.
Yeah, I deliberately tried to, knowing what was coming up, I wanted to try and bring Gold and Henry as close together as they'd ever been in the whole two seasons or season and a half so far, because obviously what happened subsequently is he splits them apart, and I wanted to try and show that he's fond of him, you know, he likes the boy, and he maybe sees a little bit of being and whatever.
Yeah, the, you know, that's how we write him. And even in the scene where Henry was in that red room in episode 8, and then you heal him and you say, this one's on the house.
That's right.
We always tried to write when you're with Henry that he reminds you of Bay. And he brings out a kindness in Gold that most people can't.
That's right, they don't get. I remember the scene where he goes to see him in Mary Margaret's apartment. I remember emailing you guys saying, why is Gold going to visit anyone? Do you remember that?
Yes.
And, of course, that was the reason. The only way he would do it is for Henry. He's the only person he would play a house call or a house visit to.
Yeah, Gold had always, in our mind, seen him as special. And as the relationship developed, you know, it was almost on some level maybe he knew.
Yeah.
And there's also, I think, a level where there's that guilt you have from Bay.
Yeah, completely.
That you're just trying to work off any way you can.
I think that's right. I do tend to play the scenes with Henry kind of smiling, but I kind of look down slightly hiding from him as well, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really want to look in his eyes too deeply because it reminds him too much of his past. And it's hard for him, I think.
Yeah, no, I love the depth in this.
I really loved this scene, by the way, you know, with these two. I thought they were absolutely terrific.
Yeah, now these two just really, I feel like you feel the pain and the heartbreak of all their years apart.
Yeah, absolutely. I really do think this is one of the best scenes I've seen her play, actually. She's just brilliant in this.
Yeah, she's brilliant
absolutely
in this.
Believable, you know, heartbroken.
And I love how she plays it in a way where she's not going to let him see it, even though you can feel it.
That's so true to life, though, isn't it? It's exactly. Yeah. I love at the end when she stands up and she pulls the ring off, throws it down the bar.
Yeah, the necklace, the keychain.
The necklace, yeah. So good.
Now, this is a great scene.
Yeah, the only inaccuracy in the scene is there's a hockey game on, which you wouldn't have in New York.
You know something? I just spotted that.
Yeah. It's a little touch of Canada there for you, everyone.
Oh, well, you know.
It happens.
Canucks stuff going on now.
Well, it could be a Rangers game, Adam.
Yeah,
could be.
But,
could be.
I grew up in New
York.
Oh,
Michael, he's a big Red Wings fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
He would not stand for a Rangers game.
This scene was for us also important in that when Emma says that she made a deal with you, that's, you see on his face, he knows what happens when people make deals with you, and that if she's going to go back and lie, there's going to be trouble. He knows that you're smart enough to see through it, which is what brings him back later.
And also the last person that, you know, he probably made that kind of deal with was me.
Yeah.
You know, which when he let his hand go, that was the end of that, because the deal was that you're going to come with me. Of course he doesn't.
No, that was, you know, in our minds, that was the only deal you ever broke.
Yep. That's exactly right. I remember us talking about that. That was that moment. It's brilliant.
To remind myself never to trust someone again.
Okay. Yeah. Heartache. It's very complicated because in a lot of ways, he did to her in a weird way what you did to him.
Yeah.
But for different reasons.
I thought that.
He let her go because he wanted her to find her destiny, but he's always felt the guilt of letting her go and the way he let her go. And you've always, you know, felt the guilt of making the wrong choice.
Yeah, completely.
Oh, destiny.
Can't escape it.
Can't. Here we go.
Now, here we go on the list.
Boot camp.
This was amazing because, you know, two days before that, there was no snow at all.
Really?
In Vancouver. No, nothing at all. And it just went bang. It snowed like crazy for 2 days. And that morning when we went to shoot all of this, I think one of the grips was about 4 hours late. Everyone was about 2 or 3 hours late, even people that stayed quite close by to this Burnaby Park, this forest. People weren't getting there in time. The cars were skidding back down the road. And it was cold.
Oh, it looks cold. I love how you're walking because we know you're there and you're trying to be brave, but every step you take, I can feel that you're like, I don't want to be here.
There's a hesitation and like,
that's exactly, yeah,
like you're out of place.
That's bang on, guys. That's exactly what it is. He's hesitating every step of the way. This has got to be one of the freakiest scenes in the show so far, I think. This little actress here I thought was absolutely superb, you know. She was, it was freezing, as you can see, with the snow, as we've spoken about. Look at her little hands. Her hands are so cold there, you know. I remember saying to her, how long have you been acting, darling? And she said, 9 years. 9 years, absolutely incredible. She'd been acting since she was three. Bridget Fleming. She was absolutely wonderful. This kid's going to do very, very well. I don't think she necessarily studied, because the older seer comes later on. I don't think she necessarily studied that or seen any of that, but for some reason, some fortuitous reason, she just... Obviously, the makeup makes her look like that, looks like her, but even her hands, the way she did it all, it was just so confident and composed.
Yeah. The whole idea behind this is we just wanted her to point out all your fears.
Yeah.
Everything you worried about internally, she was saying out loud.
Well, I always kind of seen this as well as like a scene between two children.
Yeah.
You know, because the early Rumpel's a bit like that. He's a wee bit, just a wee bit behind.
And well,
he's like a kid, you know.
He's naive, you know. He hasn't
yet.
Yeah, he hasn't yet really lived or suffered.
And what's interesting is how I always think that the pre-Dark One Rumpel, how frightened you are to leave your village.
Yeah.
Mila said, "Can't we go somewhere?" in the crocodile, and you were like, "Why?" You were okay being the village coward and living that life because that was better to you than going out and seeing the world.
Yeah. You know, there's little bits, you know, that you take from characters, you know, to you know, compare with your own life. That's one similarity to myself and Rumpel. I never like to leave home, really.
Yeah?
I'm quite happy.
We keep forcing you to stay. Yeah.
You keep forcing me to, and I keep coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Unless season 5 we shoot in Glasgow.
You never know. And there's another world. An entirely different world there.
Yeah.
The other thing she'd say about this, if anyone's interested, that this scene was almost entirely ADR because there's a huge canopy above us. It's catching snowball-like flakes of snow that was coming down. You could hardly hear anything at all.
Oh, wow.
Well, you're always pleased as an actor when you see it coming out like that or the way it is here because, you know, it can be tricky to get that back, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I know that must, because you're in the moment, and now you have to get back in that moment, which might have been 2 months ago.
Oh, it's dreadful. You know, sometimes it can be really bad if you just can't get it back. You think that performance is gone forever. No one will ever know. No one will ever see, or rather hear, what you had managed to achieve before.
It's like when your computer crashes and you lose a scene and you can't remember it.
Hey.
We love this.
Sounds bad.
This scene's fun because here you see Emma for the first time reaching out to her mom.
Yeah.
She doesn't like what she hears, of course.
I was cold. I like this scene, love this scene. You know, this is when he really talks to him, you know?
Yeah. Henry has an ability to get, like he did with Emma, and he does with you here, he gets you to open up.
Yeah.
He also gets exactly what you're going through because he's gone through it.
Yeah, that's right. I know, actually, you know something? I never thought about that. Of course he has, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Because he always comes across very strong, Henry. You know, he's like a strong kid. You know, that whatever's happened to him, he doesn't really, he doesn't show it, does he?
You know, my favorite moment in this is when you give him the look about when he says, you know, you're here for him. You hide the fact that you let your son go and abandoned him.
Yeah.
And you see that on your face.
Yeah, he doesn't want to talk about that.
No.
But he opens up completely at the end, doesn't he, towards the end of this little sequence when he says, you know, he talks about, you know, seeing the future and what it's all about. And the
future. Yeah, what I love.
He starts to look at him now.
What's great is you see on your face the lifetime of seeing the future and the burden it is, which, of course, we'll see later with the seer.
Yeah. It's that smile there at the end. It's as close as they get, and that's it from this point.
Yeah.
There's no more closeness, you know. So I tried to take it as close as we possibly could up to that moment. And,
well, for us,
as far as it goes.
Yeah, I mean, for us, you know, making Henry your grandson and then this prophecy, like, that's any other kid and they'd be gone by now.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I mean,
regardless of their age.
Yeah, Rumpel's done worse.
And that was the whole thing about this, the future in this and seeing it, is we just wanted it to, that burden you play of how difficult it is to see the future, we wanted to show why that was, which is it's just, it never is what you think it will be, even if you've seen it.
Yeah. There was this will give away exactly what date this is. The episode that just showed last night was the Miller's Daughter, and there's a lovely line in that when he says about, you know, when you can see the future, there's irony everywhere.
Yes.
Love that, you know, and I've always been aware of that with Rumpel, that you can see everything, you know. That's why a lot of things that do with gold, it's a half smile on his face, because like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that.
But one of my favorite things about Rumpelstiltskin is his patience. He's lived long enough to know you have to have patience to get what you want.
That's right.
And I love that, you know, for us, we were like, it was like putting you on an airplane we liked as writers, because it was like you were venturing into the new world, and it was, in a lot of ways, this world's magic. And it was magic you had never experienced before. But we also love the idea is that knowing you had to be in a plane, you couldn't bring your knife because of TCA rules.
No, absolutely. You know, TSA. He even had to take his shoes off as well.
Yes, so undignified.
So he's wee blue socks and everything.
That is one of my favorite scenes of the season in the previous episode, when you threaten to impale the guy with your cane.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I enjoyed that, you know, that wee sequence there. That was... because that was the first time that you really see this fish out of water. You know, before that, he's in the car going through the line, isn't he? Crossing the line, the town line, and then you suddenly see him, you know, in this world that he knows nothing about. And I think he speaks for a lot of people when he says how terribly uncivilized he took his shoes off.
Yeah, no one likes to take their shoes off.
Especially not in the bloody airport.
No. Yeah, no, I this scene's fun because we sum up the dysfunctional family, the Thanksgiving to come.
He did well here, Josh, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's hard to learn that stuff.
I think there's a family tree somewhere I saw online.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. It's very complicated.
Yeah. Well,
Thanksgiving.
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, you know, for us, this is I love this. You are not taking no. You have come too far, and too many things have happened.
Absolutely. There's a small gate to get through, that's all.
I also love in this scene when Henry up here says he's your lookout, and it's just, here he is helping you find your son, as the prophecy says.
Yes, he's really on his side here, isn't he?
Yeah. More than Emma, who obviously is lying.
Yeah. Well, this sequence after this door opens, it's a great, great sequence of scenes in here now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's complicated. It's you know, she doesn't want to be in there, but part of her really does want to be in there, too.
Mm. Well, and she wants to know what's in there.
Yeah, when you said, I want to know who he loves, and you just cut to her face, that's what she's worried about.
Yeah. This was some sequence. I see when I was watching this, you know, getting set up and, you know, getting put on the marks and stuff, I thought, this is like a big-budget movie. This is as big as anything I've worked on. It was amazing.
Yeah, how
the background we had, the costumes, the armaments.
We've got an incredible production team.
And Dean did a great job.
Yeah, Dean White, who directed this episode, really kind of captured the scale in an amazing way.
What I love is the way, and you're playing it, it feels like every scene you're beginning to lose more and more courage. You're coming off the rails.
He doesn't want to be down there.
No. Like, I just, from the smile you give Mila that this is my chance to get rid of my father's legacy, to this moment when you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I was really aware of that again with that scene with Mila, to do that, to get this, you know, juxtaposition with this scene coming up.
The scene that will make everyone scream.
The scene that follows as well.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
I tell you, really.
Yeah, I love that you go, look at that. You can just see it.
I'm not all right.
No, you're not all right at all. Look at it coming down.
See the rain coming down now. It was really, really ferocious, that was.
What I love also in this is you see how easy it is for you to go back to magic. Tell me again. Tell me again. The next part, of course, is, you know, answering a big question.
Yeah, this was in many ways almost the reason for being for the episode.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, this was your origin point.
This took an awful lot of working out, just getting this just right, you know. Just so the audience would feel the pain, you know, feel the pain before the pain, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Just try to,
'cause now, it's the anticipation.
I love that. You really feel like you're in pain there. Yeah. Pardon me. And then the boom, now we see the limp.
The end of the leg, yeah.
And, you know, you were saying to me, you always knew he did it to himself.
Oh, yeah. I always felt that. Felt it could be the only way. To me, that's why Gold still has it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why does Gold, you know, not when he's, well, he's magic, why doesn't he just put this away? This is the thing that reminds him of who he actually is.
Yeah. It's interesting. And then there's, you know, the dream catcher, of course, from Tallahassee that she hung. And it's interesting how there's similarities with you and Bay and Emma in that you all keep little mementos from lives to remind you of lives you had.
Yeah, I really like this scene.
And for us, what we love is you're smart enough to see the way she looks at that. You know.
Yeah, she's seen something.
You saw something. Tell me.
You don't know what you're talking
about. Tell
me! Henry, go wait in the bathroom.
But I can help.
Henry, go!
He's really good to hear about Jared, isn't he? There's no way to leave the room.
Yeah.
Most kids.
Yeah. No, she knows you're about to get hardcore. It's interesting because you both have such strong reasons right now. She doesn't want Henry to know she lied, and you need to find your son. You did not spend this many years to be lied to.
Yeah.
You don't have magic here.
Oh, I don't need magic.
I remember we trimmed some of the lines down in this just to kind of make it a bit more sharp, almost in a way.
Yeah. These scenes were so emotionally difficult that you had to kind of write the really long versions to see it all, to know.
Yeah. And to find out what the essence was.
Yeah. And for us, we loved that Neil came back for Emma. It showed his love for her.
Yeah.
But what I love, and you'll see in the next scene, is that you even though you know the answer, you have a little bit of hope that maybe he came for you.
Oh, that's sad, even though I can say so myself. Sad, sad stuff.
And this is where the downward spiral begins.
I love, like, I don't know how did you play this scene? It really looks like you're in pain.
Well, thank you for saying so. It's scenes are always pretty difficult to do. Of course, that's inside the studio. You know, it's, you know, many, you know, days. Actually, that stuff was done afterwards. I think this was done after. Remember, I said it broke between Christmas and New Year.
Yeah.
I think this is after New Year, so it's a long time after. And try and remember that feeling and that pain, you know.
Yes. I
Of course, there's a real baby.
Yeah.
That was amazing to have this real, and the father actually was there. He was he's just out of that shot here, actually, to the right hand side. And he's so aware of his wee baby. The baby didn't wake up at all.
Oh man, are you serious?
Through all of that, and I started to get really loud, start shouting, and her. And it didn't move at all.
I love
until right at the very end, the great moment that we get with the wee baby is when his hand comes up and touches my nose.
That was one of those you got lucky moments at the baby at that moment. I love this, and I love that you see in this moment when she stopped loving you.
Growing up
as your son. And the irony, of course, of you did to your son what your father did to you. You could have fought,
Rumpel. Yeah. You could have. It's the beginning of the end right here, eh?
What we love so much about it is the pain. You hobbled yourself so that you could be there for your son, and then, of course, the darkness took over and you abandoned him.
Yeah.
And having to play those two things has to be incredibly hard. It must drive you insane.
It is, you know, because you guys kind of know a bit about my own background, you know.
Yeah.
It's quite tough, you know, these scenes, you know. You certainly, you know, you don't always go to the well. There's that wee hand touching his nose.
Look at that.
You don't always go to the well, but in these kind of scenes, I kind of do, you know. I kind of become my dad, in a way. That wee baby's me.
It's just beautiful. Like, this is just amazing. I love this. This false hope you give yourself.
Yeah, you came back for me. I came to make sure you didn't hurt her. I've seen what you do to people who break deals. Because he's, you know, he doesn't have it, does he? He doesn't know how to do it.
No.
You know what I mean? And we prove that, and you know, the scenes to follow when he has the three-minute chat with him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have anything really to offer him. He doesn't really know what to say.
It's heartbreaking because, you know, you've had so many years to plan this, and then when you get there, you just... You two know each other. It's never what you think. No, stop it! This, of course, was an intense scene because the revelation that you realize your son is back, you're seeing him, and he has to realize that Henry's his kid and that Henry realizes Emma lied.
This was probably the most difficult scene we wrote this season.
Yeah.
There was so much going on between every character and the relationships and the secrets and the emotion that it was tricky.
I bet it was. It's because it's very clever, guys. You know, you kind of think, or the audience certainly think, well, this episode's about, you know, Rumpelgold and Bay.
Yeah.
The reuniting of these two. And you expect in that moment for that to be what it's about. And then suddenly, actually, it's not. it's about Bay and his son.
Yes. Now, when...
So clever.
When you realize Henry's your grandson in the scene, were you playing the prophecy?
Yeah.
You were, because you give this look that just says, like, you almost get the you know,
you see it you on
get
your
the
face.
Joke. Yeah.
But it's like, but what it's playing, what's so beautiful about the way you're playing it is it's playing as though you're absorbing the enormity of all these worlds colliding and how difficult it's going to be. And we don't yet know how difficult it's actually going to be for you and the difficult position it's put yourself
right
in.
Right there. That look says you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the audience don't at this point, do they?
No.
Because the second seer seems to come, it tells them. It tells them part of it.
Yeah. To show that she had lived up to her end of her bargain. This is just... No. I find these scenes heartbreaking. To get you to talk
to me. This is very real, you know. So, well, you know, sitting here with the writers, it's easy to say it, but it's so well written. You know, it's so well written.
You.
It doesn't make it easy to play, but it's got an ease of playing, if you know what I mean. Nothing jars.
You and Michael, I mean, you guys definitely have chemistry, which is fantastic. But did you speak before that scene? I mean, had you, before that big scene, did you guys speak? Had you, because this was his first episode with you, I think.
No, we didn't. In true television style, I don't think we actually met. We met very briefly. I think in the previous episode, I think I was shooting something there and he was shooting there, whatever. And we'd met off screen, and then this was the first time, I think, in that sequence in the house that we'd really, really met and chatted. But that just shows you, sometimes it doesn't take that long. We just got on very, very well, understood each other.
Yeah, no.
Understood how each other worked, you know?
For us, it just felt like we just needed to just unleash you two in a room together and put a camera.
Oh, that's lovely. The dagger we control, the dark
one. And when he returns to Storm... Oh, Cora.
No, we were very, very close. And that day, in fact, you know, once the scene comes up, the one, the three-minute scene, we were just hugging each other. It was a big hug, you know? It was just, it was lovely.
Yeah, no, it's just, you really see it on screen. You feel that pain.
Yeah.
And of
it's
course...
a good look at New York, though, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now
Emma has lied to Henry, who starts to say, "You remind me of Regina."
Because I never thought I would see him again.
And it's, you know, for us, it was also to see, you know, this is Emma with her heart broke. Broken.
Because she's so strong. It's a strong character, you know, with everyone. It's nice to see her, you know.
It's nice to see her break down.
It's nice to see her in pain.
Yes, it's good to see you in pain, Jennifer. It's good to see you. Someone's breaking you down right now, and it's Henry.
That's good. Good pain.
Yeah. Now this is.
I was thinking of me, not you.
It's just messy. That's what I love about it. It's emotionally messy.
Isn't it funny? Some shots you see Jared getting older.
Yeah.
And these shots here, he looks a bit older here.
He's older and wiser now, and a lot. How old is he now? 11? 12?
42.
I think he's 42. It's Botox. That's the Hollywood secret.
39, get on 42.
Yeah.
I don't know, what is he? 11 or 12? I'm not sure.
Clock's ticking. Here we go. Yeah. So when you got into this, you know, you and I talked a lot. We've talked a lot about our favorite moment, which is when you say, "I can turn you back." What were you thinking before you got into this scene?
Well, everything was really geared towards those couple of sentences, you know, that I can turn the clock back and make you 14 again. I knew that was just so, to me, that was this, talking about sadness, that's the saddest line in the whole piece for me.
Yeah.
Is that all these, you know, centuries have went by, 2 minutes. Hoping, you know, praying, planning, scheming to find this boy. And the only thing he's got is to say, "I can turn you back to being 14 again."
Yeah.
And it's so empty, empty, hollow.
Now,
the moment. And he knows it's hopeless.
I
can't make up for the lost time, but
I can take away the memories. Yeah. I love it. I love it. And it's, you know, he left you because he didn't want to have magic, and yet you try to use it. You're trying to do anything. You just don't know how to make it better. That's what I love about this.
I kind of also, you know, when I read the script for this, I didn't expect that. Don't know what. I didn't expect anything. Don't know what I expected, but I certainly didn't expect I can take you, turn the clock back and make you 14 again. It's like, oh my God, is that all you've got? Is that it?
Yeah.
It was such a massive, massive moment, I think. To make up for your mistakes. And again, brilliant, because it continues, it makes the story go on. It's not as easy as that.
Yeah.
And thank God you guys didn't make it as easy as that. It would have been, you know, tearful, you know, reunion. Everything's fine, you know, I forgive you, Dad. Episodes, you know, whatever. Next, it just wouldn't work.
Well, what we love about it is, like, you keep your you could have obviously healed your limp, but you didn't.
Yeah.
He's basically saying to you, you know, this is my limp. I need this pain because it was what makes me.
Yeah. And then you open your grip. That was really sort of tough, that Michael saying that, explaining, you know. Choosing all. You know, episode 19. First season. See that there? That wee flourish there?
Yeah.
He kind of half did that in a rehearsal. I said, "That's brilliant." He went, "Oh, no, maybe I shouldn't do that." I was like, "No, definitely should do that." "You think so?" It's like, and we spoke about it for a wee bit, you know. I said, "Go for it." And the amount of people that mentioned that.
No, it's great.
After that episode. Because he's the only person who knows that. He's the only person that's ever seen that.
Yeah. He's the only person.
Rumple flourish.
Yeah, still alive today. That yeah. also knows, you know, he knew you before the power and after. And he saw you become it.
He knows this guy.
This guy.
this guy's different from the later Rumpel. We've spoken about this. Remember, remember one episode I said, is it full Rumpel? Is it, you know, is it 8 out of 10 Rumpel? Is it 7? Remember, we spoke about that once in an email. And we all know what that means, of course, because there's lots of different stages to this person because he is so old. But this is actually quite early on, and he's nasty. He's quite nasty.
Yeah.
He's there to kill her, really.
And she knows it, and she's seen it, and
she wants it.
And she wants it.
Yeah.
And you're about to find out why she wants it.
I love how you break it down for her pesky details.
Yeah. All the details, you know.
This Rumpel is very... This Rumpel, in a lot of ways, is angrier, and he doesn't have the wisdom of age.
That's exactly what it is. You're right. He is angrier. He's the angrier Rumpel, because it's not... To me, in my mind, I don't know how long it is since he's been the Dark One, but it's not in terms of his 300-odd years. It's the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
So it's happened pretty soon. He's lost his son. His son's gone. He's alone in the world, you know, and he's getting used to that, and he's got a lot of anger.
Yeah.
Well, he also knows he's going to live forever. So, you know, losing his son has put him now with a future that's unending and with great loss that he knows he has to deal with throughout that.
Yeah.
I also love, you know, your anger. You don't even think twice about taking the power. You just see, someone's giving me a power.
I'll take it. That's right. Of course, it's that... That haunts him then for the rest of his days.
Yeah.
This moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is the moment that if you go back and watch the moment with Henry earlier when you're waiting for Emma, you really see the weight on your face of what this did to you.
Yeah.
Yes, there's more, I know it. Tell me.
You will not cast the...
Impatient as well.
Yeah, very impatient.
Give me it, tell me.
Give me it.
Someone else.
Tell me.
No sympathy for her pain. None. Yeah.
Not.
Also a different outfit than we've seen.
Yeah, well, actually, we have seen some of this before. This the overcape was the one that he loses Bayon in season one, episode 19. And the underneath is actually, I think, was used in that episode also. So it's not so far away. I don't think in my mind when he lost him.
It's kind of before the rock star outfit.
No, but it's after losing Bay, he went, you know, to the Blue Fairy and he went to and the Seer. He's trying to solve the problem any way he can.
That's it.
Tell me about him.
No, I wasn't.
Anyone that'll help?
Yeah, well, he's my kid too, so you don't get to make that decision by yourself anymore.
Great, go talk to him then.
Yeah, now this is not a good trip for anyone to New York. Everyone came away a loser on this one.
You know, it's like a few of my trips into New York have been through the years.
Yeah.
For different reasons.
Nobody saw cats.
No, they're not going to see cats, Adam.
All right.
I've never seen a show in New York.
Really?
I never did that. No. I don't know why.
I love this scene because you see that he's trying to right all the wrongs that he feels were done to him.
Nice to meet you, Henry.
And I love how Henry just says, that's okay, you didn't know.
It's okay.
Plays it very well, the wee boy, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's not giving him the guilt trip, but he's not giving him himself either. You know, he's not giving him his heart.
Now, in this scene, you're obviously thinking about Henry.
Yeah. He's thinking about this.
It looks cold that day.
You know, it was, but see that sun that's coming through the trees there? That's real sun rather than the lights in this case. It was beautiful, beautiful way that it just sat through the trees. Remember Steve Jackson on DOP was delighted with this.
Oh, I love the way this looks. These forests are fantastic.
You wanted to give me your power. To free yourself from this torment.
In time, you will work it all out.
Also, should say, she was... Shannon is her name, I think. She was very good.
I offer you one thing.
It's hard to do this, you know, like one day on a show and don't know anyone. You're up at probably 3 o'clock in the morning. getting all that makeup on, thrown into a freezing cold forest, and you're having to kind of perform. And I thought she did exceptionally well.
She did a great job. And, you know, a crew and everyone who knows each other. And then she has to face Rumpel on day one.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Rumpel's coming at her like a freight train. And she got angry Rumpel. She didn't even get fun Rumpel.
She didn't even get a joke.
No. She didn't even get a playful one. She just got the one that was coming right at her.
I just love the contrast here about how you play it, how little Rumpel cares about the news she gives them here, but now, all those years later.
Yeah, it's almost like you casually, you're like, just a kid? Who cares?
Then I'll just have to kill him.
Right there.
That's why I played it like that, because it's so loaded, that line. Otherwise, you just need to kind of throw that away, and you can see it there. And he remembers.
Boom. One of my favorite episodes ever.
One of mine too, guys.
It's the Rumpel show. This one. It's like all 10 of them.
Yeah.
Well, thank you
so much for giving me the opportunity to play all of that. That was just fantastic.
Thank you. Fantastic. And thank you all for listening.
Yes.
Yes, thanks for listening, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.